We are going live. Good evening and welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest all the way from the other side of the country. It is Andrew Marr. How are you doing, Andrew?
Hello, I'm just... this is really my new thing, you know. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be like this and then just come up. Maybe hey. I should wear a hat or something. I don't know.
Well, I got this for a very kind person, a very kind friend of mine. You see, look, the Blancpain. Got a lovely Blancpain cap, Andrew. The Blancpain.
Oh.
Yeah, you see?
Look at you with your...
Yeah. Aye. Yeah.
We should wear it. We should... This is my non-tartan version. I'm pretending I'm Jackie Stewart or Jimmy Clark, that I've got a farm. Now, can you see me on Podbean? Because it's saying I'm sort of connected.
Yes, saying you're online. Yes. I think we're all there. Yep, you are listening. Yep, you're one of the listeners there coming in. So that sounds like that is working. And hopefully you'll be picked up as well on that. Welcome to the show and to all our guests and all our listeners. We are going to talk about the Formula One testing in Barcelona because today it was slightly wet. It wasn't as sunny as normal. Yes. And we have another special guest about to join us.
Oh, my goodness
me. Here we are. It is. Hello.
Hello,
Jonathan. Hello.
Very well. Thank you. How are you? Well, technology is as technology doesn't do.
Yeah. Now, what I can do as well for you, Jonathan, I can send you a quick link on Podbean. And if your computer is able to log into both, it means that people will hear you on Podbean too. If you have, yep, I will give me 2-3 seconds there. But we're all going to talk about the testing tonight the Formula One testing in Barcelona. Because it's been pretty exciting and lots of things happening. So I will just quickly... there you go. There we are. Well, that's it sent anyway, so hopefully that will work. But, so I have here in front of me the most up-to-date testing times of today's testing at Barcelona.
No, put that back.
You want to see it again?
Yeah. No, I don't want to stop seeing your face. It's great. Sorry.
You know, all I need to do is to remove you from the stream, you know?
what's the American say? Sorry, not sorry? Anyway. I also like to point out, before we get serious and talk about real things, is that I was just suggesting we wear hats. Jonathan's done it like by magic, so you know.
Yes.
Hey, North Wales coast freezing with the wind. It's not biting, it's got big teeth.
We have one of your friends on watching us here on StreamYard. It is Aunt Salamino. It's saying hello. So he's one of our first guests to comment, which is great. So keep the comments coming in. And I'll do my best to make sure I don't forget about them, but as we did a couple of weeks ago, or in fact, that was a month ago now. So we're going to have all the info. I don't know if you've been watching the testing as well, Jonathan, but or you've been hearing a little bit about it. But it's been quite good. There's been Ferrari, would you believe, have pulled a bit of a surprise at the last minute today and gone to the top of the tables with Vettel. After being really struggling quite a bit for the last few days, even last week, they were struggling quite a bit. And now it's the turn of Mercedes to have reliability problems and engine trouble. So it's changed a little bit, but I think the top three teams are going to be absolutely on it in terms of Ferrari, Red Bull and Mercedes.
Which Mercedes, the pink one or the silver one?
Ah, yes. Yes.
Oh, meow. hold on, wait a minute. I've just got to cover myself legally. Allegedly.
We use that term quite a lot here. But
allegory.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So yes, no, it's been good. So yes. Now, you were saying earlier, Andrew, that you have been watching quite some of the videos and recordings of testing.
I have used YouTube to a great extent, and some of the sum ups at the Autosport, and also the Formula One website itself, you know, F1.com, have put a few videos on there. Some of them are really good. They did an excellent one. The first thing I want to say, because they're my old favourite team, is the congratulations, William Racing's team, for making a car that looks like it can go around a corner. I apologise for the slight sarcasm. I had to make it sound funny, but I'm so pleased they've managed to do that. I really am. Anyone that's a true F1 fan, knows
you want to see Williams do well.
You want to see them do well, because they're a relatively little team that struggled budgetary wise. Frank Williams is a racing god in the circles, and Claire's had a lot of criticism. Why? Because she wears a skirt or something. That's stupid. Whatever they've done, they've kept going, which has shown such tenacity. I think it's fantastic. And they've got a car. But on YouTube, there was a Formula1.com video, which they put up on their channel, showing George Russell in last year's car and in this year's car at the same time. Doing that sort of side-by-side split-screen thing. And you can see he's got so much more confidence in every corner. When he turns the wheel in the old car, it's fighting the car. In this one, he just turns and goes around it. And he's a second a lap faster in the same conditions. Marvellous. I mean, they're not going to be winning races this year. They're not going to be at the front. But at least they've got a car they can compete in. Yeah. And we can watch him have a good fight. And watching Latifi and Russell, who are talented.
Russell won the Formula 2 championship, GP2. So I think he's got a lot to give. If anything, when he beat Lando never managed to get the Formula 2 title. So I think give George Russell a chance, and he's going to be right up there, which is great. Yeah, really, really good.
There's all these idiots asking him, they're trying to push them, aren't they, for sound bites and stuff like this, aren't they?
They're
asking him, you're at the back, are you giving up? All last year. And he's just saying, look, I know where we're going. I'm confident with what we're doing. I've got the confidence of the team. I believe in them, and we're going to be okay. And I just thought, how old is he? 21, 22, something like this?
Yeah, they're pretty young. I know, that's an incredible thing. But we've got a great group. And obviously, you've got Hamilton, you've got Albon, he's kind of half, is he half... Filipino, Thai. He's Thai.
Singapore, I believe. Is it Singapore?
I thought it was Thai. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure our listeners can put us right. Then, of course, we've got Russell and Lando Norris. So we've really got a fantastic range of Brits there who are right up there and showing that they've got talent as well as being able to drive for good teams and getting into good positions. So I think it's going to be, hopefully they'll have they had a very good rookie year, to be fair. And I think this year they'll show that they can do even more. But I think there's only probably maybe one or two drivers, maybe even just one driver, that I think maybe isn't, they can all justify being there because they managed to get there. But I think pretty much all the drivers in the current crop are worthy of being in Formula One. It's even like people like Lance Stroll has managed to get podiums and things. So I think you've still got to be good enough to be able to get those kind of results. I think in the old days, there were a lot of drivers that really paid their way in. But now I think that's much rarer.
Pedro Diniz, anybody?
Yeah, Pedro Diniz. Remember that? Yeah, there were some crackers.
I've got to say, firstly, I'd like to say well done. He's Thai British. I was wrong. But my personal favourites were people like Sinyu Nakano and... what was that other one?
There's Andre de Cesaris, who poor thing, he died in a scooter accident in Italy or something. He had a massive shunt. He used to crash cars all the time. He was called his nickname was Andre de Crasheris, by James Hunt.
That must have been just before my time, because I didn't hear James Hunt. I wasn't watching Formula One.
Yeah, he died in 93, didn't he? It was 93 when he passed away.
That's I started in 95, so... Brundle's first year.
Yeah, the journeyman, yeah. Yeah, there were no commercials on the BBC at that time, were there?
Oh, well, superb.
Now, is your, just to make sure, our Podbean listeners may not be hearing Jonathan, so I just wanted to double check. Have you logged into your Podbean yet? Is it no?
Jonathan, do what I do. Get your phone out, open up Podbean, and call in from there. That's what I'm. I've got calling from.
Yeah. So, I've so got if my, our Podbean listeners, hopefully you're hearing not just myself, but you're hearing Andrew and hopefully Jonathan as well. But we'll confirm that. If not, please let us know in the comments. That would be fantastic if you can let us know so that we know that everything is actually working. Because we've all updated our computers. We're all trying to get our technology to work, but it doesn't help if nobody can hear it. So if you can hear us all, it would be great to just have that confirmed.
I'd like now, to shout, have a shout out to the people that have joined us on Podbean.
Yes.
Andy125M. Good on you, mate.
Yes.
Good
yes. Name. Thanks to everyone. Now, we may well have a few people joining us from Germany tonight, in fact, all over the world, actually, because I put a video on the Michael Schumacher fan page, the King of Formula One, on Facebook, and it's done rather well. It's had about 70 plays so far, which is great for my YouTube channel in terms of for a video that I've done on that. And it was really interesting because there were some real, you know that every country who has a Formula One driver in F1, you know, obviously there's a lot of fans supporting them. But of course, with Schumacher being such a, you know, incredible Formula One figure, you know, across the whole globe, you know, Schumacher's so big. So, the core support is really fantastic. Mm. And I'm hoping to do a podcast with some of the guys from the Michael Schumacher group and just do a podcast with them one day. So if they're listening tonight, it's great to have you with us. And if you do want to get, you know, to come on the show, send us an email at podcast@cardealadvisor.co.uk and I will make arrangements so that you can join us on the show as a guest, just like Andrew here and Jonathan as well. Okay. I think it would be really good because I think it's quite interesting to get the kind of cultural difference as to how these people, everyone, you know, supports their drivers and what they remember about their favourite driver and how it all works, you know, and all the stories that they'll have of going to a Grand Prix and you know, something that happens and it was just unique to them. So I'm hoping to try and do that and we can have a great show with again, just like us all fans of Formula One and bring in the stories and things like that. Does that sound good? I've got silence.
It sounds excellent to me. You know, listen, I wouldn't argue with the Schumacher fan club anyway because...
But no, they were really good. They were lovely to me, actually. And they said really nice things about my video, which was great. So it was...
used to work, there was two lasses who worked there, and they were big Schumacher fans. And if I even... Because I wasn't a particular Schumacher fan. You know, I appreciated the guy's skill and everything. I was a DC fan and Hakkinen and all this kind of stuff. So, and, of course, Damon Hill. So if I even looked like I was about to say something slightly... negative about Schumacher, they'd kill me. It was just great. I used to go in there going, I'm not going to say anything. Did you see the race? Was it a good race? And all stuff like this.
your friend has said, Rue is more like an armchair than a guest.
Shut your face. he can get stuff because I've got less padding than he has. I know.
I'll just say, keep the comments coming thick and fast. And we'll do our best to read them out if we can, if we're allowed to. We don't have to worry about being demonetized because we're not making any money from this, that's for sure. It's like, you know.
Hold on. So, we could get paid?
Well, yeah, only in euros, mate. You know, whatever they're worth. But, I have a
question. I have a question. Who loves Gunter Steiner? I love Gunter Steiner.
Yeah, or even tomorrow or something. Is it quite soon?
Saw that on Netflix, actually. I've been wondering about having a look at that. So, yeah. I cancel it again. Well, I go month to month anyway. I've pretty much exhausted Netflix this month, and next month I'll go on to something else, and then you do it like that. They're not good enough to play permanently. I mean, come on. Well, the reason why I mentioned Gunter Steiner is because of the Pink Mercedes. Sorry, the back in the days when they were called Force India, they were very critical of Haas for being a Ferrari painted a different colour.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
I think Gunter Steiner, who I adore, I just love the stuff he comes out with and his honesty about things, has been really, what's the word? Not constrained. It's been really nice about it. It's been very controlled in his response to them having a Mercedes, painting it pink. Right. Okay. It depends who you... They use the Mercedes wind tunnel, okay? So they have a lot of access to Mercedes things and people. It's got a Mercedes engine in it. So there's bound to be, because the engine and gearbox are the same, the back end can be designed in a very similar way. But if you look at the front wing, there are minor cosmetic differences between the front wing of the latest, whatever call it, this 20. I forgot what they're called, what the pink thing's called. What's the name of that?
The pink.
Racing Point. Yeah, Blancmange on wheels. And Angel Delight, let's call them that. So the front wing is pretty much the same. They've even got, you know, the nose comes down on the W10 and then does that. It's even got that. But it's pink, so it really is. I mean, when I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, I can't tell. There's far too much pink and not enough grey. I don't get it. Yeah. Old people like me that can't see properly, you know. But then I was, so as part of my research today, looking on YouTube, the Autosport had Tim Wright, I think his name is. He's their sort of technical expert, some old guy. He needs a pipe. He seriously needs a pipe. He's got the slippers already. And he was going through, well, there's minor differences. It's not exactly the same and all this kind of stuff. And then right at the end, he goes, yeah, basically it's the same, isn't it? I mean, there's little winglets. And the cynic among us might think that the small changes, because they're not exactly the same to the front wing, are there because the front wing's the most obvious part and the bit you would most easily see the similarities. So if you're slightly different, they'll go, oh, no, they're a bit different. But what I think is very telling, I mean, at the end of the day, I can't remember his name because my brain's gone. But the team principal of Racing Point, when they was asked him about this, he said, look, the rules are being chucked out at the end of this year, okay?
Yeah.
For the first time in years, we've got enough money to do this kind of thing. So why not just make something that's going to do well so that we go into the 2021 regulations on a high? So basically, I think what they've done is they've copied it because they know that it's just going to be for this year. Stuff it, we get as many points as we can, get as much money in the bank, and then in 2021, it's all going to be all new anyway. Alfa Tauri, it's Italiano, eh? Anyway, or Minardi, as I like to call it. Well, that's what they were. I miss Paul Stoddart. Having a hairy, scruffy-looking Australian businessman just like racing and doing it anyway. Alonso and Webber started there. What? There's nothing to complain about.
No, that was the thing.
Yeah.
I just love Gunter Steiner's quote.
He says, go on.
Stop whining to Grosjean.
All right, boys. Stop.
Stop whining and drive.
If you don't stop hitting each other, I will have you shot.
Or you'll be fired, you know.
I have the cannon out of the back and you shall be shot. Done. Oh, it's great.
Now we have a question. We have a question by one of our viewers saying, have they updated any rules for the season, or is it the same as last year? It's pretty much the same as last year, which is quite good because it means it should hopefully bring the pack together and make it even more competitive.
Somebody was making the comment that the reason why the engines and everything on the cars are so relatively reliable now is because they've been stable for 8 years. So, I mean, you know, the engine regulation has been stable for 8 years. Okay, they've had wider wheels and aero changes, but, you know, I'm with Ross Brawn on this. You keep the rules the same. Uh-huh. People are always moaning about, oh, Mercedes and Ferrari got all this money in Red Bull and they're running away with from the pack and this kind of stuff. Well, stop changing the damn rules then. They're the only ones with the money to keep up with the pace of development. Little teams haven't got any money, so they kind of, little increments, they learn as they go along and they make things better. After 10 years of the same rules, all the cars are closer together naturally because they've used innovation rather than just cash throwing money at it. But I don't know. Considering how clever these people have got to be to run, you'd think, they're idiots running the sport because they go, oh, we've got to stop them from having an advantage, so we'll change the rules.
Aye.
Idiots.
But I think a bit of both.
Liberty Media,
they want to try and
money. As long as they stop Americans shouting, because oh my God, Austin, Texas, when the drivers come out and they shout, and here comes Ricardo. Shut up. Just let them walk out and get on with it. God, the fun's meant to be the driving. No.
It was quite... Well, similarly, they were trying to get a race in Miami, but there's been a lot of the local groups in Miami have protested and have won a case, so that I think they're having to change it or potentially not have it at all. Because, I think it's just the way they put the racetrack. They want to close certain roads, and I think they say it's going to cause a whole lot of problems. So the locals have got together and said, actually, no, we don't want it. Or certainly not where they've put it so far. But I'm not, you know, I have to say, there are tracks I think would be quite fun to use. You know, I like the track in Texas is great. I'm just not convinced that Miami is the place to do it. You know, in some of the Indy cars, they use like old or even active runways, you know, and airfields and things like that. And it kind of maybe works, but I think for Formula One, it needs either something like Monaco, which works so well because it's got the history and the glamour and the city looks so nice. You know, it's a lovely looking place. I'm just not sure if Miami can quite carry that off. You know, unless it's different if it was down the strip, you know, near the beach and all that kind of thing, where it would be quite glamorous. But if, yeah, to try and, well, I think it'd be lethal.
We sort of kind of did, because I used to enjoy the races on the Indy 500 circuit in Indianapolis.
Yes, that was quite good.
I mean, what an amazing place. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Americans now to put on a show, and what you've got is you've got 300,000 people that can see the whole race. Oh, it's bliss. It's in one corner. Oh, okay, they have this kind of Mickey Mouse thing in the middle, which I have played on a computer. I was terrible. But those couple of corners you've got. So, as you say, John, why not just... Antonio, behave. Sorry, just comment from Ant, which I'll deal with in a minute. What, like you say, forget the infield bit, and like you say, just have the whole oval. That would be amazing. Because the thing about F1 is it's a sort of a weird compromise car, isn't it? That can go superbly fast at places like Monaco and superbly fast at places like China or Baku with these massive long straights. I mean, Baku, you've got a straight where they're hitting 240 plus miles an hour, and then they've got to go around a little castle. How do you know? That's a fact. Now, we've had a question. Oh, you've been answering this question, have you, Hugh, from Bobby Digital?
Yes, I've just been answering it, yeah.
I think that's a very interesting point about materialism in Miami, about yes. selling it to them as a way of making money. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, no,
I've
absolutely.
I've been to Miami, I can just imagine.
And he was saying as well that the roads are really terrible in Miami, so they'd have to repair them, and I don't think the Miami Council would... we're wanting to pay for them. That's according to Bobby, which is a very good point.
If you watch the Phantom Menace, and they're having that pod race, and you've got the Sandmen shooting at them as they go past, you could do that in Miami. You'd just have to drive past. You wouldn't even need to set up the people with guns. They've got them. So, you know, at least from my experience of being in Miami that time, which was a bit scary.
So, yeah, if you go off the beaten track.
How about this then? Instead of Miami... or Daytona, a little bit further up the coast, there's this little series of islands. They have big rockety machines on them. You may have heard of it. It's called Cape Kennedy. And that would make a very interesting race circuit. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Or Orlando.
Could you imagine the headlines? Formula One coming from NASA.
Yeah, that would be quite... It's sort of credibility, wouldn't it?
Talk about...
Yeah. Well, it would probably cost less than the launch of a space shuttle.
You could launch a space shuttle at the same time. What a show. Never mind. Fireworks.
So in the background, it takes off as everyone's watching.
You know whether that's... Because I think it's the stupidest thing in the world when at the end of those Grand Prix in is it Singapore or somewhere, night Grand Prix, and they're going over the line.
And I'm thinking, and all the fireworks and all that.
You're driving 200 miles an hour around a little street circuit, and only the guy at the front managed to finish before they start flashing big lights at you. 19 other drivers are driving around, and they're going to crash. Well... Like you say, to compete, they go over the thing and then whoop, SpaceX goes up, or Elon Musk with his large electric motor tied to a rocket or something. and because everything's tailored with the characteristics of the country you're in, we go to Silverstone and you get 200 fat blokes. They get some Mentos and some Coca-Cola and they make those shaky, shaky rockets instead. That would
That's
be the British
all
way
could
of doing
afford.
It. Yeah, 200 fat blokes, pint of beer, Mentos. Oh, that'd be ace. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, so they'd be sending a Reliant Robin into space, you know, like they did on Top Gear.
So what all I those years know, ago. And I want Ant here. I want Ant in punishment for kill 10,000 cows to offset the carbon footprint. What would the Italian Grand Prix have instead of the Mento rockets? And it would probably have to involve wine and pizza. Bribes. Bribery.
Well, Bobby has answered your question, by the way, and said that the infrastructure in regards to roads, and with the end of launching shuttles, they could repurpose that whole area.
This is because I've been there and seen it and watched the last night launch of the space shuttle. Thank you, Bobby. That would that was pretty much what I was thinking. I've seen the area. They've got some. I mean, you've got from the main building where they construct. Put it all together and it goes on that massive tractor to 39 pads, 39 A and B.
Yeah.
That would be a hell of a straight because it's like 4 miles long or something like that, or 2 miles long. So, come on. They've done it in snow. What's your problem? These are meant to be the best drivers in the world. Yes.
Well, if I can.
I'd I've got a better idea. Put Trump in the rocket. At the end, it'll please everybody. If people like Trump, they go, our president's going up in a rocket and he's going to go in space. And if you don't like Trump, they go, way, we're getting rid of Trump. It's no one's upset then. You just spin it the right way for everybody and everyone's cheese. Aunt Salamino, cheese.
That'll work. If I can bring any sense of reality at all back to the show, let me try.
What on earth do you want to do that? You could use the space shuttle to fly everything to the next Grand Prix.
Yeah, I suppose. It's certainly there. I wouldn't like to pay for that, certainly. But yes, the carbon footprint could be quite amazing. It would be any idea of the FIA and Liberty Media trying to, you know, cut their carbon footprint would be obliterated in seconds when they've got kind of more emissions than a blooming volcano as they take off with a rocket.
They
single-handedly produce more carbon dioxide than the whole of China combined for a day. You know,
about that.
But the Cape Canaveral Grand Prix was a huge success, says Chase Carey. You know,
Ants made a good point. The winner gets a ride to the ISS. Well, better than that, the podium can be on the ISS. Why not?
Well, of course, International Space Station.
I've got a question, a proper question. If you want to get all serious again, kind of. I'm not going to get too serious because, right. So, session four yesterday, Kubica ended up top of the timesheets.
That's true.
Anybody here believe that's real?
Aye. No, it was. It was indeed.
Oh, I know it is real that he was at the top of the timesheets. What I'm asking is, do you actually think that Robert Kubica and Alfa Romeo is faster than Lewis Hamilton in a Mercedes?
If he's traveling light, you can see that they've got, you know,
he also had the softest tires. What's this thing where they've all got C numbers now? C6, C7.
Yeah, there were about five different compounds.
Sponsored by Citroen or something. So all of a sudden,
you better hope not. Reliability might be an issue. You know, it was like one fundamental flaw. You know,
even though it's obvious that they're all sandbagging, apart from, you know,
Ferrari, you know.
I think
the car is not as good as it should be.
Matteo Binotto is, I think he's a canny fella. I don't think he's, you know, just because he smiles. That guy's been around for a while. It's obvious they've got a lot more downforce than they had last year because the straight line speed. They thought it was that they were just getting a consistent engine. So they were slower because the customer engines were just as fast. So they asked him and he went, no, that's it. Yeah. No.
That's all they've got.
It's full power. Go away now. Busy. So I love him. I think he's great.
Well, on an on a kind of site segue from that, Alan Prost was interviewed because they are saying that he was complaining that all the regulations coming out of Europe regarding stopping the sale of petrol and diesel cars is affecting Formula One because obviously they use petrol engines. And he thinks that it's going to hurt the motor industry and ultimately all the big sponsors that come into Formula One, the big manufacturers, they need to sell cars. And they're not going to be able to do that if petrol and diesel is taken off the market even earlier. And he says you can't really go down, you know, Formula One can't go down the electric route because, you know, we've already got Formula E. And so that could be really facing some challenges in the near future, depending on how it goes. And he said, why don't we choose like a V12 engine? Because in effect, some of like the top end Ferraris, you know, like the La Ferrari and all the kind of amazing supercars are still using pretty big engines, but applying, you know, the kind of hybrid technologies and things like that from Formula One and making them even faster and even more incredible. Do we go down that route? He said, personally, that's not his choice, but he could see why it might be a good idea because it still means that the technology is doing something special and actually having an effect on your day-to-day cars, because even the top-end cars, some of that technology will eventually come into the you know other cars as well. Because he says, what do you do? I mean, is he doesn't see electric really working in Formula One. He says potentially hydrogen might be possible. That might be an option. But an explosion. Well, it'll be an explosion that might actually send a rocket off up to space. But
with the NASA Grand Prix, perfect. Sponsored by Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Yeah, because you're going to need that if it goes up in smoke. But you're going to need to be able to travel 12 miles in a second.
No. You know? Hydrogen and oxygen don't make smoke.
But I might not want to be around when it goes wrong. So you might be a 3-mile island.
Yes.
I mean, in 10 years' time, you might get 20 minutes out of it. But
that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I've sorry, Ant's just said about using scale electric, giant scale electrics. one of the things that's always bugged me about when they ban stuff in F1 is I always thought F1 was meant to be the pinnacle. It's meant to be innovative. That's the whole point. That, you know, if Adrian Newey was known for never making anything new and interesting, or Gordon Murray, or, you know, it wouldn't exist. It'd be pointless. So, as you say, F1 is the perfect platform where there's no holds barred to develop these things. And there's so much money in it. Use the money for something sensible.
But like since the 50s, it's been petrol. Since effectively, it's been petrol. Oh,
absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, 70 years. And in 80 years or whatever, they would have to go electric. And I think, well, they've already got Formula E, which is totally electric. So I still think, is Formula One going to define a different category? Or is it going to be something that makes people think, wow, you know, it's spectacular? And could you imagine the V12 hybrid in these Formula One cars? I mean, the noise would be exceptional, you know, and I think it would bring back the show, although it would have been good racing, when it's missing the noise. The noise was a huge part. Now you can hear the crowds cheer. You can hear the commentators cheer, you know, talk at the track when the cars go past. In the old days, it was like, you know, hands on the ears. You couldn't hear anything when came past, you know.
That was it. The Race of Champions, when they had this, I've been to one Race of Champions in the Wembley Stadium, and it was great, but was being completely spoilt by this Burke on the biggest set of speakers I've ever seen. And you couldn't hear the normal cars. You know, they've got like the Expo and all this kind of stuff. 300 horsepower Focus RSs, and you couldn't hear them for this guy going, that's all you could hear. Then DC and Hamilton came out in the V8s, perfect. All you could hear was the engine. I mean, Wembley's a big place.
Yeah.
And we were up the top, and all you could hear was, I'll tell you what, they sound a lot better in real life than they do on the telly.
Yeah, there's a great video to watch it for our listeners and our viewers as well, of Ken Block and Lewis Hamilton. They're racing together on an American track. It's kind of in the desert, and yes, he's got, yeah, I think it was the time when he had his McLaren, maybe it was his early Mercedes, and they're getting so close. He nearly crashes a few times, but obviously they're doing it for show. But the noise of that Mercedes is incredible. And then Ken Block in his rally car, who is missing him by millimetres as he's broadsliding around. It's phenomenal. Best 2 or 3 minutes you ever see. And of course, the noise from the F1 car is just insane. Yeah. And it's
I think they're a bit louder this year. I mean, I was listening. They had a comparison of last year's car and this year's car. And it's marginally more guttural. It's a little bit louder, but it's still not.
It's because it's quite a low rev range. You know, before it used to be like 19,000 RPM And now it's about 11,500 to 12,000 kind of peak revs. So you don't get
which,
the same.
Which is okay.
Tune, you
know? I mean, I used to like the sound of the old 43,000 cars.
Yeah,
They were V8s, and they were was it 3 liter V8, something like that? And they only revved about 10, 12, didn't they? But they just had that animal sound. If it was an equivalent animal, it would be a dragon, and it's going to have your leg off. And it's going to be using the bones to pick its teeth, kind of idea. It was frighteningly wonderful. Whereas these, I mean, for a start, they sound like a bag of shite when they're on the limiter going down.
Yeah, they kind of crackle, don't they? Because the best sound was the old F-Duck cars. There was a great, I think it was Bose 92 that did that video when they go to Monza and they're going around the two Lesmo corners. So they hear along out the chicane and then they back off just enough and go down a couple of gears as they hit the first Lesmo. Pop, pop, pop. And it kind of goes, you know, it's an incredible kind of heavenly sound as you hear this thing go around. And that's what you need. You need something that makes you think, wow, you can't go and see that anywhere else. And at the moment, the cars sound—they just don't sound nice at all. There's not a tune to it, you know.
The Spice Girls and listening to Pavarotti having a sing—you know—it's just one's music and the other's.
I would say it's worse than Lizzie and Pavarotti at the moment. Is the difference between Big Lizzie, and yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah. No.
No, right.
Yeah, down. Yeah.
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 Just let him get on with it.
That'd be like some. That'd be like.
Six. And I was exploded. You
know, he received the award posthumously. You know.
We're going to find his head and we'll just put this around it. Boing! Because he was using hydrogen. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a brilliant idea, John. I like Ross Brawn, and I think he's great. I think a lot. The ideas he's had have been rejected, not because they were bad ideas, it's because they were doing well already. They don't want to do something new because Ross Brawn knows his beans, doesn't he? But I still think it'd be better if we did it. And Ant, we need to get Ant, so we get a scale electric powered by cheese and some, I don't know, something to do with cows and in NASA.
You need about 10,000 cows to sell the steaks in America, don't you? That would provide enough steaks on that. You know, that's what they have at Austin, Texas. They have the steak race.
What was it? James Martin going to something to do with Super Bowl, maybe, or some college football thing. I mean, it wasn't like a national massive thing, but my God, the food they were making in the car park, I wouldn't have cared. It was amazing. Steaks the size of your house. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, it looks like, by the way, on the idea of, I should do the Formula One times because this is what people were probably tuning in to find out, about an hour ago. Right, so here are the most up-to-date times from Barcelona today. You don't need to do that.
Internet.
We're supposed to do it for them.
No, we're going to do it for them. I'm just saying that's not the only reason they've clued into.
Of course not. Of course not. But it was on the main headline in the description. So we better at least fulfill on that.
You know? I can't read. Who are you?
Right.
People.
Okay. Actually, you're absolutely right. My goodness me. You are. In the Red Bull Honda. with a 1:18.393. In ninth place, it's Kevin Magnussen with a 1:18.225. In eighth place, Esteban Ocon for Renault in a 1:18.013. In seventh place, Valtteri Bottas in the Mercedes with a 1:17.985.
I eat porridge.
He only did 40.
Yes.
That's true. Max Verstappen in the Red Bull on a 1:17.7. He only did 31 laps today. That wasn't very much. In fifth position was Lando Norris for the McLaren Renault. 1:17.573.
Hot times.
That's quite good then. Nicholas Latifi in the Williams, a 1:17.3, and he did 160 laps. And he's getting pretty close. Then the surprise, perhaps, Lance Stroll in Racing Point Mercedes, 1:17.118, and he did 130 laps. But the fastest man on the track today was not Lewis Hamilton. No. It was Sebastian Vettel in the Ferrari. With a 1:16.841, and he managed 145 laps, which is pretty good going.
Was that the C5 or the C1?
Is it C1? I think C1 to C5.
C something. Everything's a C. Yeah.
Yeah. And guess where Lewis Hamilton finished?
In the garage, because he broke down.
I was going to say something naughty there. You bugger, you found out before me. But it was before I get...
The clue is, he's got his glasses on, so he's reading something.
Ah, you see.
Just because he's wearing that sort of cap thing that makes him look like he's about to, you know, nick somebody's handbag, does not mean he can't read. See, This is my homage, my English homage to Jack Stewart. Oh, these are great. These are. You can't actually see these because they're camouflaged. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Well, on that note, we will probably bring the stream to an end. But stay on the line, you two, because we'll have a quick chat afterwards. But remember, for all our viewers and all our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. And if you know of other motorsport enthusiasts who would love to come and join the show and listen to all the things that we talk about here on the Car Sim and Race Driver Show, let them know, share it out, give us a like and a comment, and subscribe as well if you can, or even if you dare. But you've been listening to me, which is Hugh Hattrick, and my special guest, Andrew Marr, at the top there, and Jonathan Sutherland. It's been great to have you with us tonight. Remember our motto, drive fast and try not to crash. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye just now.